Is that it?
Last two. We have our Abra Hartley, and I believe it's Anjali Rather and Kabir.
Read the other name.
Okay. Hi, I'm Abra Hartley, and I am a former resident of the Pearl District. I used to live in the Pearl Court Apartments with Camille at 920 Northwest Kearney, and now that I am engaged and about to be married, I went from being in poverty to being middle class, and we could no longer afford to live there. We had to move and buy a small ranch home in Lake Oswego, even though we would have preferred to stay. We cannot afford a $700,000 condo for the square footage that we needed. And we would like to see something where people of a middle income could afford to purchase property so that you can stay there. You either have to be wealthy or in poverty to be in the Pearl District. So there's a weird lack of the middle ground. Some of the other families that are here have been there since property was affordable, but we're not in that position at this point. And my friends are all there. The community is great there. The people are great. That's really it. We would like to have been able to stay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Can staff come back, please? Questions from the commissioners?
So, Jeff Bachrach. Issue. I think we heard a pretty good discussion after he testified.
Right.
Is there anything you could add to that?
Yeah, let me, if I could, Commissioner, maybe take three of the issues I heard that were sort of open issues for you throughout the hearing, and maybe we can dispense with some of them more easily than others. One had to do with Rick Michelson's concern about the recommendation to pursue the Lovejoy Northrop couplet.
Yeah.
And some of you may know I'm not a huge fan of couplets to begin with, so it's a little hard for me to.
I was actually chuckling when you said that.
To defend.
You can probably drive that one right through.
To defend a couple. What I can say is this one actually is responding to real capacity constraint, whereas some of the past ones are a little, had a different genesis, perhaps, and really didn't have that capacity problem.
Be careful.
Mauricio can respond in detail, but we were just talking. I think that we could live with language, if you'd be willing to entertain it, that would say change the word recommend to consider, and to also consider the proposal that Mr. Michelson advanced. That they're at a very preliminary stage of the thinking in that.
The only thing I would throw out is that I want to, obviously, any public process, we should honor all those that participated. But this really, in my own experience beyond just this today, as I indicated in the tour I went on and other interactions I've had, this is really an extraordinarily problem-solving, focused neighborhood.
Yeah.
That so I don't want to do anything that that end runs or even is capable of being perceived as end running what I think is a process that all of us here would want to honor.
That's a very good point. So, and
Marisa, you may want to respond to that.
What we know is that the couplet does work, and it is a solution that's out on the table before you today. We could recommend the couplet, but also consider that we see if the proposal works.
I guess I'm more saying, I'm not so much asking you what your opinions are as I am. I want to make sure what we do reflects the work that the community did.
In other words, if we water down the language a little bit to allow other consideration, are we violating the trust of the group that worked on this plan? And that maybe is something that
I don't believe so. I mean, I think that was a way of trying to address some of the congestion issues. I don't think that in terms of the urban form discussion is a couplet versus what Rick's proposing entirely different. No, I wouldn't say that's the case. I think we want to look at both, though, because we did really model one.
Can we
more
just
than
say
other.
That then? Look at both?
Yeah.
As
yeah.
opposed to you picking one version or another, just say we'd like both sides to be looked at.
I think it would be okay. I'm not sure if Portland Streetcar is here, but we have a project, the Streetcar Loop, and that's coming, for funding pretty soon in construction. And the conversation in the community and the conversation with Portland Streetcar is that a couplet is needed in the future, and the couplet is needed regardless of the FAR, and the couplet as modeled works, and the couplet as modeled works for Portland Streetcar. So I'm not sure
I guess that
will work for Streetcar, well, and they need to move very fast, I think.
But then you saying that gives me more pause to change anything. That kind of reconfirms my original.
Secondly, from a professional perspective, and we haven't done the analysis, the proposal seems to me that it just sends a couplet eastbound, but we don't know how the trips come back. And they may come back. The majority of the trips, according to our model, go from the Northwest District, actually Rexa neighborhood, I believe, and to the east side of the bridge, of the river. So we don't know where they come back. And the traffic may come back in areas we don't really want. It may affect all the facilities and other areas. So
this is exactly the problem. The westbound traffic hasn't been modeled. Well, I presume that you need the couplet before you do the modeling. Is why I think the proposal to open the option up is really the right thing to do.
Well, our model
shows. If we have both concepts on the table, it doesn't do anything but allow for further discussion and exploration, right?
That was my impetus, and I think if that gives you heartburn, then we should talk about that.
Well, and furthermore, if at some point you had to have a firmer answer because of some streetcar application, we could come back and talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, my understanding, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're one of the strongest advocates of streetcar in our city, so I don't think you're trying to block the streetcar here.
No, I'm just trying to make sure it all works and it all makes sense.
So I would concur with Commissioner Leonard's observation. We just want to keep both options on the table without making a judgment.
Okay. One distinguished, first of all, Mr. Bacharach's situation from the other testifiers, Summit Property, for which Mr. Abel spoke. I think there is a difference in the situation, as Patty Gardner articulated, and so we should take those one at a time. In the situation is differentiated in two respects. The base zone underlying them is different. One is EX and one is RX. So with regard, and the other differentiation is that one is in the central sort of waterfront area that was had a different part of the urban form discussion than the north end. So for that reason, I think we can talk about them separately. We have no issue with the middle section, the Summit Properties one. Troy has advanced to you a friendly amendment that would not increase FAR.
Before we jump to that one, just to conclude on the Jeff Bacharach one, so you don't have any quarrel with the analysis?
Well, I was going to come back to the Bacharach one. Yeah,
okay.
So just because the other one's pretty easy to dispense with. I think with regard to the Summit, we have an amendment that works. It does depart from what the Planning Commission said, which is we're not against height there, but we ought to really study the waterfront in the Central Portland plan in terms of additional height. But it seems consistent with the community discussion, and if that's the way you want to go, we have the amendment prepared for you there, and it doesn't bring up any traffic issues or other process issues. That's simply a choice. You can stay with the Planning Commission, or you can allow the additional height based on the modeling you saw from Jeff Sturr. With regard to the Bacharach issue, it does get a little trickier. And actually, in my mind, you have five options, and there are complications with them all. So let me run through them. And the first one actually has a variant, so you could call it six. One is to go to reject what the Planning Commission said in terms of extra height on the Riverscape properties, that is, the properties north of the Fremont Bridge and east or north of the NATO Parkway, the whole development there, some of which has been already developed, but there are two parcels at either end, one at either end, that would take advantage of additional height if you gave it. So one notion, and this would be advocated by the Northwest District Association and by some of Patty Gardner's comments, just leave it at the existing height limit at 100 feet. The variant of that is you heard one testifier from Northwest saying, well, maybe the height would be okay on the southernmost one next to the bridge, but leave the northernmost one at 100 feet. So you'd have 175 and 100. That's sort of option one with a couple of variants. Option two is to go with what the Planning Commission did, and that would not increase FAR on the site. It would allow building heights to go the extra 75 feet. It would be done through what I think Patricia Gardner described as the not-so-easy bonus.
Affordable housing.
Correct. That is to say, you wouldn't get the automatic 2-to-1 bonus just for doing any kind of housing.
That would also seem to reinforce our last testifier's concern.
Yes. He would have a slightly more difficult route than the Summit properties or some of the other properties because they start with that 2-to-1 and then they get their extra height through the family bonus. But it would be consistent with the philosophy of earning additional height through the family-oriented bonus. The next option would be to say, let's give him the easy option, as many of the other properties have. Don't make him do that. Just give him the extra 2-to-1 or the extra height without having to do, just for doing the housing piece primarily.
Which is what other property owners can do.
Correct. Many of them, yes. So
they get that as a right.
They could do. We could do the easy option. That's not consistent with the RX zoning. So in that case, we'd probably want to come back later on the Portland plan if you did that now and clean it up. The next option would be the zone change, which Patricia advocated. That is, just make it EX. It's the only RX parcel there. I wanted to say that we want to throw out a caution about that one. In many ways, that's the simplest and cleanest one. We said going into this that we were not going to reexamine and change the base zones. But remember, at the very beginning of my testimony today, we said this is a discrete action in advance of the Central Portland plan, and we're going to be very mindful of traffic constraints, and this will pertain to comments about the Winkler property in a moment. So in discussing this with PDOT, the EX zone comes with potential to do office uses, which have a different traffic pattern intensity and peak usage times. So it may not be enormous, it may be minor, or it may be substantial. We didn't examine that during the process because we just said we're not going to change the base zoning. So that would be our only caution there, is that PDOT would probably want to do a traffic study for that before you change the zoning. So your final option might be to leave with the one of the middle two options and say in the future you might consider as part of the Portland plan rezoning, but not to do it now when we do the bigger traffic study.
But to harken back to my original observation about the process, as opposed to some commenters' concerns that there wasn't enough inclusion of their opinions, there really isn't a disagreement that Jeff was fully participating throughout this process, and this was on the table, discussed, vetted, debated, if you will, and what we see as a result of that process and your recommendations.
Correct.
We did not discuss the application of the residential bonus to that zone, largely because we don't ever apply it to the RX zone. And Planning Commission didn't consider it, not because they didn't think of it, but because we don't apply it to the RX zone. One thing
it wasn't discussed in the public process.
It wasn't discussed because it was never contemplated as a possibility. We just don't apply that bonus to that zone. But one thing I would caution, too, is that, as I mentioned before, we brought down the potential to use the residential bonus throughout the plan area from a total maximum of 3-to-1 down to 2-to-1. That was actually a compromise. There were a number of people who wanted to keep it, but there were a number of others who wanted to get rid of it altogether. They felt that it doesn't give us the complexity of residential development that we really seek. It doesn't give us affordability, it doesn't give us family housing, it doesn't really give us anything other than just more residential. And there was even leadership on Planning Commission who had really pushed us at one point, why aren't we getting rid of that? So we said, well, we need to reinvestigate that with the rest of our bonus options through the Central Portland plan. So for now, let's just lower it to 2-to-1 and keep it. But there was never any consideration to applying it.
The point I'm trying to make is there was an opportunity to have this discussion, and it did or did not happen.
It did not get raised.
But there was the opportunity for it to happen.
There was, Randy. I think what's clear is that the additional height, and there were two opinions on whether to have it or not, was discussed.
Okay.
The multiple pathways by which you might get there, that nuance was probably not fully discussed there.
There was an opportunity.
There was an opportunity to do that.
Well, if it wasn't fully discussed, I guess I'm still wondering, you know, this property was part of the district. It was put into the district, and it's part of the planning area that you looked at, and it, it so one of the things Jeff said was, you know, you have some goals in terms of density and height. So is the stumbling block here the zoning designation? I mean,
I think so in many ways. We didn't go back and re-examine the 1990 zone base zone. We just said, let's not, this is a strategic fix, let's not go back and re-examine everything that was done in the past. So,
but Gil, if this Riverscape property was zoned EX, would we be having this conversation, or would the proposal you're presenting to us include giving him the same options as any other property owner that's EX with
it? It would, and I think what we're trying to tell you is although it's a departure from where the Planning Commission was, I want to remind you of that. They said, go cautious on the waterfront, don't change it till you get to the Central Portland plan. But from a staff level understanding, you may want to go a different direction. We don't have a philosophical issue with the height, and we wouldn't with EX. What we have is a procedural question about whether we've done the adequate analysis traffic-wise to flip the base zone because of the office question primarily.
So in light of that, your preference would be if we were to keep it at where it is now, your preference would be to have the applicant apply on his own for a zoning change and have it dealt with in that way rather than us directing you?
Well, let's be clear. We think that he can get to where he wants to go without the zone change.
Right, we've learned that. He can get to 175 feet.
Right, we think he can get to where he wants to go. He'd like to have other options available to him and easier options to him available to him. He could pursue a quasi-judicial zone change. That may not. That tends to be long and expensive. I would probably advise him to wait for the Central Portland plan process in that case. But because I think he's got a pathway to where he wants to go.
Another option you presented, and you didn't advocate it, but you said, give him the benefit, and we'll clean it up during the comp plan. Do you have the benefit of the
easier of the two.
Yeah, give him the easy bonus, and then we'll clean up the zoning designation to the comp plan.
You could apply without changing the bonus. Without changing the base zone, you don't bring the office question in at all. You keep it as residential primarily, and then you're essentially creating a new anomaly, which is a housing bonus in a housing district, which is the RX, and that we would just take as your decision on a particular circumstance and then change it later. So that's.
But again, there was at least the opportunity to have this fully vetted discussion in the community process.
Yes.
And so, I mean, whereas none of us have shied away from in the past interjecting ourselves into contentious debates between developers and neighborhoods where we've determined one side was being unreasonable, cutting the baby in half. I don't sense that was this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not wanting to wade into waters where there has been good interaction, collaboration, but for somebody not bringing something up. That's not defendable in my mind to the point of end running a whole community process to change that here. I'm not comfortable with that. That's just me.
I don't know if you want to add anything.
You can think different, but I...
Community process.
I'm comfortable with it going to EX with a traffic study preceding it. I think
you mean changing the zoning?
I bought into Pat's discussion.
That's actually what Patty said. She said
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm fine with that as well. But then they need to undergo that process. What I'm more concerned with is us interjecting our judgment for the communities and do some. Allowance for housing bonuses there is unique that doesn't take into account the concerns we heard articulated here today, which I thought were thoughtful and reasonable.
No, I appreciate that comment, Randy. But one thing I'm struggling with is it's EX to the south and EX to the west. So in effect, it is a little island.
It's actually not EX to the west, just to be clear, too. There's comp plan EX to the west. So you have to go through a whole process to amend the comp plan to rezone. It's not automatically EX to the west. There was an error in Patty's testimony.
And that would enable, you know, the traffic studies to be done.
It's actually an employment designation.
I mean, that's a further nuanced alternative you could do is a comp plan at EX, and then
I'm getting a headache.
Well, now, I'm actually where Mayor Potter is. I mean, what I heard was there's a way to get there. That sounded like a very rational position, and it's a more clean cut, position that's consistent with our current processes. I'm very supportive of that happening and being considered in that context, because the justification I heard made sense. I mean, it was do it in the context of the entire area, not just essentially reaching out and spot zoning this one area, which, again, I don't mind doing as well if there is some reason for us to have to interject ourselves. But I don't see any evidence that there has been either party being unreasonable as they've gone through this process. And for that reason, I don't want to allow anybody to be in run.
How long would that process take?
Well, there are two components. You could tell us to go back and come back with an EX zone designation. That would take us a little while to do. We'd have to do the traffic analysis.
I'm not sure we're stretched right now. We don't have, probably you know better than anybody, PETA doesn't quite have the resources to do what it's supposed to do. And we have budget for the Central Portland plan. I'm not sure where we can find time and resources to do it. So I cannot answer exactly, but it does take several weeks to run an analysis.
I want to be clear as well. I don't want to beat this to death, but I want to be clear as well. I don't want to, even if we do what the mayor and I are both agreeing should be done, I don't want to do some extraordinary process that does not include the community as it ordinarily would.
Right.
They've made a compelling case for a long time that they want to plan their community and plan it well, and they have invested time and energy, blood, sweat, and tears to make that happen. And I don't want to send any message here that we're not honoring that. So if there's a process by which one rezones their property that includes public notification and public comments and public processes, right. I don't want to do anything here today that somehow makes that different than what it would ordinarily
be. So I think if this is what you're zeroing in on, the zone change, I think there are really three options then. One is to tell us to go do it as part of this legislation.
Can you apply for a zone change?
Well, that's what I was going to get to. You could tell us to go back and do it as part of the legislative, or you could say your intent is to designate it in the comp plan as EX to rezone it, then he would go through a quasi-judicial process.
I'm not even saying that. I'm saying I don't have enough information based on the limited amount of testimony I've heard from the community today to give you any direction on anything.
Okay.
If Jeff has an independent right to file for a zoning change, I encourage him to use his rights, and then the process will include much the same kind of interaction you had to develop this plan with the community. In that, I am comfortable. I am not comfortable hearing a community clearly articulate very refined concerns about what the boundaries are of their community that make a lot of sense to me to somehow interfere with that. I mean, we should be encouraging that kind of discussion and not doing anything to make the community feel that it's okay at the last minute for somebody to come here at council and circumvent that entire process and ask us to do something they could have asked for during that process.
So, Gil, you said there were three choices.
Well, with the rezone, you could do exactly what Commissioner Leonard is saying, which is you just adopt the Planning Commission recommendation, which signals the height of the EX base zone change. He would then apply for through BDS and do that process.
And that option is not without controversies. We've heard some suggestion that
correct.
Some
people I just wanted
the planning process would prefer we not go that far, but that's one option.
Well, I would just point out we generally discourage sort of single parcel rezonings unless there's a comprehensive plan designation in place that says that's eventually where we want to get to. To go this route you just articulated, he'd have a sort of double high hurdle, which is he'd not only have to approve the traffic works, but he'd have to prove that the larger public purpose is being served by broadening the zoning designation. That is to say, it's a more of a policy call to do that. It's frequent that we will do rezonings for individual parcels where the comprehensive plan already anticipates a change. And simply it's a matter of demonstrating you have the services available to do that. It's a different standard to say, I think we should change city policy about what set of uses ought to be allowed on that property. So, but that's one. Those are the two primary options. Do the Planning Commission recommendation and let him file an application for that. Option two, you signal you want to change the comp plan designation but not the zoning for the property. And that then the debate, though, is narrowed to the traffic concerns and not some of the broader policy issues that you've talked about. Three is you say we want to consider this as part of the Central Portland plan, the rezoning.
Are these the types of questions that we envision being addressed by the Central Portland plan? Or are we
Yes, they are.
So this is entirely consistent to
when Patty
contemplate comp plan zone changes as part of the Central Portland plan.
That's the place we'd want to signal which ones should be cleaned up and which ones stay the way they are.
So that I'm clear, that's your preference, is that we use the Central Portland?
Well, I think from a policy and community involvement point of view, that's probably the preferred option. If this is something you feel is relatively minor and you just want to make a decision about today, then you could exercise one of the other options.
Clear to me, it's not relatively minor to the community.
Gil, that, in terms of timelines, the scenarios that you mentioned, what's the approximate difference between them? I mean, you know, obviously we could make it do it very quickly, but
the option where he would sort of go it alone through the quasi-judicial process, he would first have to prepare a development proposal, and that so he would need to be clear that's what he wants to do, and then apply for that. Conceivably, that would be done. That could all be completed, including appeals, at least to your body, within the next year. The Central Portland plan outcome extends that another year beyond that. So, but again, we think for the proposal that we understand he wants to do, there's a pathway to get there under the Planning Commission proposal.
By taking advantage of middle-income workforce housing bonus, newly created family bonus, eco-roof bonus, water feature bonus,
right.
All the myriad of things
right.
available to.
Right, and to the extent that if to achieve the height, he would be creating ground-level open space of some kind, to the extent that he enters into some agreement with parks to dedicate that space, there could be credit given to him and SDCs and a number of things that could help with that process that aren't necessarily part of the zoning debate. So with regard to the Winkler property, and I'll let Troy discuss the involvement. We did meet with him at the conclusion of the committee process. His architect was there for the community meetings, and there were two subsequent post-committee meetings that were held publicly once the traffic analysis was done. What we made clear to the committee was we've got a choice to make. We can wait for the traffic analysis to be done to conclude the committee recommendations. And there was a wait because the Metro schedule to provide the modeling was backed up, and Mauricio can talk about that. Mm-hmm. And so we can extend our process and come back to the committee and rework the recommendations. Or you could make your recommendations and suggestions provisional on having the traffic analysis done and then having that be debated in open public meetings, including the Planning Commission meetings. And that was the preference of the committee, to just move the process along. So it was always signaled by Troy and Mauricio that the properties to the riverside of the railroad had traffic constraints that we needed to examine through the modeling. And Mauricio will talk about the modeling, but the modeling that was done at a fairly gross district level, and that was debated by Jim and his traffic engineer as to whether you could make anyone intersection work, and I have to let the traffic people talk to that. But just speaking to the process, I think there were opportunities to raise those issues once the traffic analysis did come out.
So to be clear on the concern I'm trying to raise is, given the lateness of the hour, with all due respect, I just do not hear the traffic modeling argument. I am more concerned about the process. And so am I hearing you say that there's an opportunity to address Jim's concerns about not having a fair shot at arguing the conclusions you reached through your own traffic analysis by adopting some other process by which the community would also be involved to be able to look at and analyze their own traffic engineer's report and then make a judgment about what may be appropriate at that point that would be not us, again, in running the community
process? No, I think what he's asking for is that
that's what I thought you said.
Yeah, what I was trying to describe is what actually did happen already, which
I thought you said in the future we could adopt some provisional from some.
I think that would be difficult to do. I think what he's asking for is simply a legislative change now.
No, what he's. I thought you said that we could adopt some provisional findings contingent upon you having some open public process. Did I misunderstand you?
He was talking about the process that led to the Planning Commission's adoption. Let me walk you through the process a little bit. We actually did talk about the transportation in our last two project advisory group meetings. So a final report was, we're doing our analysis all the way through. Unfortunately, the modeling came late in the process because we had to wait on new modeling data from Metro. But we did do modeling runs before we ever concluded. And that was shared with the project advisory group. So the final recommendation they saw, they knew what we were proposing along NATO. And then we further discussed this through a series of four additional planning commission meetings, which were open public meetings where a lot of additional analysis was run. So there was a lot of opportunity to investigate the proposals that Mr. Winkler's making. And then just regarding the process, you had kind of questioned at one point during this. I want to make very clear that our meeting, we had 19 members of our project advisory group team, but we also had open meetings. So we had a lot of people who participated in that process who really weren't at the table. I mean, technically they didn't have their nameplate there, but they were able to talk and share all their information. I'd say some of the best ideas that actually came out of the plan came from some of those individuals. So this really wasn't a very closed process, and we were willing to entertain anything. Now, we did at one point consider, can we do increases that he's suggesting along NATO Parkway? And we looked into it, and the transportation findings just said we can't do it at this time. We've run that analysis past ODOT, who's very concerned about the congestion in this neighborhood because they see how it might affect the regional facilities in the Northwest District. They looked at our numbers, I don't know, maybe two or three times just recently, and as soon as just 2 weeks ago again, and they've concurred with our findings. So we feel pretty confident in what our analysis has shown.
I guess part of the point Mr. Winkler was making that our analysis was maybe less rigorous than
It is true that the model that we used came late to the planning process and that came from Metro. What we do is to take a regional model used for light rail in this case, and we customize it for the study area. So it covered the area, basically the River District, Burnside, and it covered Northwest District for the most part and the bridges. And then we go through a process that we call calibration so that we add more streets, we divide the land uses to be more precise in our analysis. From that, we run future land uses based on comprehensive planning designations. And that provides the basis for a typical legislative planning process such as the one we have today. So it came late, but we did have, as Troy mentioned, the two last public advisory group meetings. We discussed this, and we agreed that these were the where we were going to go ahead, because our traffic analysis showed that there was a congestion issue on Lovejoy, and Lovejoy from 9th to pretty much 14 in the future, even if we don't do any FAR changes, which is why we're proposing the couplet, and so. Based on that, we also learned that if you increase land uses then it would generate a lot of traffic that would really congest 9th and Lovejoy. So I don't know if you're familiar with the area, or we may need a map. But basically, we concur with Mr. Winkler, and we basically let them borrow our findings, our model, for his consultant to do more detailed work, meaning detailed, more site-specific, with traffic signaling and everything, intersection-level analysis. And what came out of that is that the NATO and 9th was not an issue, and that's what he spoke to you about today. But both analyses, and there were some different assumptions made, agreed that you start opening up going back to the planning area, that adding so much more FAR north of the tracks, leads to more traffic onto 9th and Lovejoy, which fails in the future. So basically, it's okay at NATO, but the traffic, one out of five trips want to go onto the Broadway Bridge and headed east. So we could now suddenly we're stuck with another congested point, and both analyses agreed on that. And based on that, our standard, performance standards for traffic that did not allow us to say we can go ahead with the FAR changes. for so that's the answer. And we believe we work cooperatively with Mr. Winkler, and we did the same level of analysis that his firm did, and we just reached the same conclusion. So we feel pretty strongly about that.
So you disagree with his remarks that he didn't have the opportunity to present his case?
We talked about it twice at depth with Planning Commission about this, and they agree with our recommendation.
But one thing I want to note, too, is that they didn't say no outright. What they said is, we concur with the city's PDOT's findings at this point, but we think this is a bigger issue. It needs to be explored through Central Portland Plan, because if we can get more capacity along NATO, that's going to benefit a lot of people as well as the city meeting our overall goals. So let's look at that through the Central Portland Plan, look at additional modeling that considers the entire area, and see how much capacity we can get out of the system. Yeah. So it was in that we had the Central Portland Plan already beginning, it seemed like the perfect place to put that request.
I guess in fairness, I mean, the default is to kick it to the Portland Plan process for a couple, and that will be resolved in a couple of years. But his argument is, if he's to take advantage of the bonus, he would want to have something resolved now.
Well, the one thing I wanted to caution too, and he did note this in his testimony, is that of the available FAR he has available to him, he's only used 50% of it. So if there is still more potential already on the site, he's asking for more in addition to that.
May I make a suggestion? Because I have a 5 o'clock appointment I have to be at, is that we have both a resolution and a non-emergency ordinance. The city attorney's office suggested that we vote on them at the same time because of the link between the two. Could we continue this till next week?
We could continue. I'm ready to proceed now. Actually, I've heard all I need to hear. I mean, that would make me even.
I'm quicker. Not. But
oh, you're not. Okay,
that's fine. If you're not, Tom, I'm happy to continue.
Okay. That's fine.
I just think that we've heard there's four different parties, and we've heard a number of recommendations for each party.
Yeah.
And yet there's nothing on paper here, and we're trying to keep all of this in our heads. I think it's quite a bit. If you've got a recommendation that ties it all together.
Well, my one recommendation, I actually was pulling out the paperwork now, was to go along with the potential friendly amendment and leave the rest of the recommendations as they've been presented to us.
A friendly amendment from Mr. Michelson?
The friendly amendment that we've been handed that I think is the
based on which one?
There are actually two, and they're not alternative, so you could do both of them.
Staff supported
both. It's the waterfront height allowance one.
Right.
That's the one from Jester. South of Fremont.
Correct.
And then the Mr. Michelson, we've agreed to some language on that.
Yeah.
Correct. And we also had offered one that we didn't really talk about much today, but is a no-brainer, which would be a benefit to Mr. Bacharach, and that would remove some of the recommendation that we made in the Planning Commission process that was really redundant about his site requirements.
So we can't vote this week anyway, right? This is first read. So I would, just based on how the rest of the council feels, I'd be okay with moving these amendments today, and then next week, if on further review, we want more
both
time.
Both of them?
Well, they said that we could do both.
Well, but
there's two friendly amendments here. They're referring to the one that refers to height.
No, we've recommended both those. We support both the friendly amendments before you in paper in writing. And then we would agree to amend the plan to reflect Mr. Michelson's request about further study of his
but just I may be the one that's suffering the most in the late hour. There's four issues before us, as I understand it. There's the south of Fremont, north of Fremont, Michelson language, and then the Winkler issue.
Correct.
So there's four different pieces.
Correct.
And two are non-controversial.
Yeah,
and I'm proposing that we amend those and the ones that are controversial not do.
I would second that.
You're saying these are the non-controversial?
These, yes.
Correct. Michelson this, and the south of Fremont.
And block 8.
No, not block 8.
Which one is it? The one south of Fremont, Mayor, is the one where we got the diagram of what it would look like if you
these
went to 175 on the...
Right.
These are Jeff Sturr's, what we heard initially, there was no controversy.
And we have a written amendment in front of you that would accommodate that. And we have a second one that basically eliminates some redundancies with regard to requirements for Mr. Bacharach's property that we think is a no-brainer. It doesn't interfere with the other larger issue that he raised. So we would recommend both of those are pretty clean. We could certainly craft language for your second reading on the Rick Michelson amendment.
So I'd like to make it following up on what you said, Randy.
As long as the mayor is okay with this.
Mayor?
I'm not. I just would much prefer that we slow down a little bit.
Well, if we did this today, this is not a final vote. We're just amending them into the plan. We could vote again. Okay.
I'm not sure that I agree with this.
If I could.
I just need to.
If I could just make sure that the council's aware that on all, any amendments you're doing, I know that you have two that you have language and that those are very easy. But because of the five-day rule on the amendments, if you're going to amend anything else and you have two other issues, I guess you're thinking of, you couldn't vote next week if you're going to amend. I mean, we're going to have some language prior to that. So
that's fine.
Well, you know, what I've heard is that with the exception of the Winkler NATO property, no one else has an actual architectural plan in play, that all of these are just considerations for future development.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why not to wait and see what is the best path to take.
Mayor, I'm prepared to follow your lead on that. I would just urge that Gil talk to Mr. Bachrach about the different options on the table and just have that conversation between now and next week and see if there's a friendly amendment.
But I don't want to send two messages here, and I think you and I might be sending two different messages.
What I meant was there is an amendment that Troy has prepared, a friendly amendment which cleans up some things, which doesn't alter the process.
I understand.
I would just say, I'd like them to confer with Mr. Bachrach if that is now a viable option from his point of view.
I don't think that's in dispute. I think what I want to just send a big C caution out, as is, I would send a message to you that any further discussions about, this is from my perspective, about the potential changing of zoning or additional FAR is not a message I want to send for you to engage in. So that, I don't know if that's different than what you're saying, Nick, but I don't
know. No, the Troy Amendment is something that's on the table, which I don't think any of us fully understand. So I think that needs to be discussed with Mr. Bachrach.
Yeah, I think, you know, with all due respect, that's pretty minor, but we can certainly discuss that. I guess what we were hoping for was some direction about these other two two larger issues, which are...
Yes, maybe, and no.
Okay.
I would like to see some additional information about the traffic analysis.
That's fine.
Both sides agreed on shows failure at 9th and Lovejoy.
That's correct.
Both, yeah. Mm-hmm. With respect to the Winkler NATO.
And also, if I may add, that the Michelson amendment, I would like to review it internally for legal procedure, because we need to find legal findings based on the
language. Maybe you can bring us, as opposed to these two separate amendments, a document that includes three separate amendments, if that's what we all agree. Because from my perspective, I intend to vote on three separate amendments, the ones that we've discussed that I'm okay with. If there are more than the ones that we've discussed, and I'm clear about what those are, that I will not support them. So specifically the non-controversial ones and the Michelson language change. Right. The other ones I'm not going to.
We can prepare a report or even a table that just walks you through what the different proposals are.
I need one piece of paper.
Got it.
With those three amendments.
You put those three as one bundle. The other two need some discussion, I think.
I think we all have different needs here. But Randy is entitled to his needs.
Sure.
Are Troy, Steve, and Steve coming back next time?
Yeah. We need to find the date on the calendar to
because I think in fairness when we have our final vote, I think many of the council members want to thank them for their extraordinary work on this project and close it out. So
okay.
If those staff people can be there.
Okay, so
I guess the end.
I do believe that we need at least, and some people say three. I think there's four different parties that have been involved, the Michelson,
There is.
South of Fremont.
I'm just saying, of the different ideas we've heard, I will support three amendments, the two that are listed here as non-controversial, and the one from...
Rick Michelson.
Yeah.
So there are three, and then the two that are the larger issues that are outstanding.
That they need more information on that I appreciate, but I don't at this point, given what I've heard, I can't support.
Thanks, Gil.
Now, what do you need from us, Gil? I'm being facetious, but what do you need from us in terms of giving you direction about what we want to see next week?
Well, I think when we're looking for the date right now when we can come back, I don't know if we spend more time today, we're going to get any more agreement between you about which way to move on those larger two. So why don't we just try to clarify the issues of those two outstanding for you and come back with those.
There's a couple of questions that I have.
Fortunately, I'm not plagued with those kinds of concerns.
We're adjourned until next week.
Many benefits of not.
still practicing law.
You can do it without me.
I'm living with you.
Good question on spot zoning. That was a great question on spot zoning.
You did make that clear, but I don't know. I may have inferred incorrectly, but it sounded as though you were shut out of the process to have a discussion.
I'll take a lift. Thanks. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
We have a real difference of view as to what the facts are.
Okay. I appreciate that clarification. Okay. Thank you.
Never heard that before.